Welcome to the second edition of the Manga We Only Know, a manga podcast by two guys who have way too much time on their hand and read too much manga. I'm your host, Az, and joining me is the man who keeps increasing my backlog, Dave.
Hey, Dave here.
He just finished reading some manga, so he's on a bit of a high
Yeah,
and low.
you could say that.
Okay, so, well, the usual format, we're going to talk about a manga in de detail, and then we're going to move talk about a few others, just touch upon them and tell you what you should be reading. First, though, we're going to cover some news.
Oh,
So,
should I cover the first piece? I don't
yeah, go for it.
want to cause you too much suffering.
Well, it's going to be suffering either way, so,
Yeah, so for those of you who all are familiar with Seo Koji, his mo or I guess it's not his most recent work anymore, but his currently running work, Kimi no Iromachi, otherwise known as A Town Where You Rage, has been greenlit for an anime by Gonzo. What say you, Az?
Well, coincidentally, I'm pretty sure I read this somewhere. I'm not sure if this is legit, but I think the anime industry posted a thing saying they're calling it quits, they're shutting down all other anime production because Gonzo stooped so low to produce Kimi no Iron. I'm like, honestly.
Yeah,
Really?
for those of you who enjoy or enjoyed Suzuka, you probably enjoy Kimimachi, but if you're like the rest of the world and hate suffering, you probably should not read this or watch this when it comes out.
Yeah,
We
I think.
suffered through, oh, how long did I suffer through this? 170 some chapters?
Well, I think I went further than you. I'm on like I went to. Let me just quickly check my mail. I believe it was something like.
Is it in the 200s now?
It was in the 200s for me, for sure. There you go. Kimi no Yamashita, 212.
How did we do it?
I guess it was because, it was the hope of maybe the next chapter's last one. It never comes. The ending never comes.
Yeah,
And
unlike good ending, this one is never ending.
now that it's got an anime, it won't end until the anime's ended, so probably like another 100 chapters.
I sure hope none of you listening to this watch it. And if you do,
You do know that we're gonna watch it for
God
suffering.
bless your soul.
Like, we're gonna be watching it for suffering.
Oh man, I'll watch it like up until don't even know if I'm gonna watch
Up
it.
until the worst decision ever by any male lead ever.
Well, yeah, I'll stop like at the episode before that happens.
Exactly. Okay. I think we should cut our losses
Oh,
here and
yep.
then move on to the next piece of news. So J Manga, the online English licensors have shut, well, are shutting down.
On May 30th of 2013,
Okay.
they are
Yeah.
concluding its retail and viewing services. And I believe they said after that point, like, yeah, it's gonna be completely shut down. So like if you have a subscription there, you won't be able to view anything. And I'm pretty sure there's no legal way to download what you've purchased.
Yeah. That sucks. I think ju not just because if you do have a subscription, I think in general they are very niche, so they do carry some yuri and yaoi titles. So I think that itself is quite sad because the big publishers like Viz and Dark Horse don't actually pick up yuri stuff.
There's that, and there's also just the like fact that it was trying to be progressive, but and since it's failing, it's hopefully like I mean it's going to set a precedent probably where an example for other people to look at and say, that didn't turn out so well, which kind of sucks since maybe we won't be able to see anything like this anytime soon.
Definitely. I think in general it's quite sad whenever any publisher kind of fails, especially if they're carrying titles that you may not have seen otherwise.
Oh yeah.
Not everyone can be the Viz Media, the Dark Horse, publishing huge titles, but so some we do need some of the smaller stuff to get published in English.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite sad. I personally don't use, legal sites because they don't work outside of the US and Canada. So, but still, it's quite sad. And finally, there's one more piece of.
Yeah, and for our final piece of news, the sixth sixth Manga Taisho Awards. Nominees have been announced. I'm only familiar with two of them, those being Assassination Classroom and Terraformers. Just a brief description. Assassination Classroom is about a extraterrestrial being who's planning on destroying the Earth, but before he does, he takes over as a homeroom teacher to a class of misfits in a kind of GTO-esque manner.
Yeah. Well,
And
dude.
Terraformers is—it's like Shingeki no Kyojin, which we'll be covering later in the show, only set in space with humanity fighting giant mutated cockroaches. It's kind of weird, to say the least.
I think the character designs, like if you found the Shingeki, like the Titan designs a little strange, you should find the cockroach designs quite amusing. I think that's the best way to
Yeah,
say it.
it's like Shingeki with a kind of, it's not even hilarious twist, it's just,
It's an odd twist.
it's an
It's
odd.
yeah, I think the character design was what made me laugh. I think it's very odd, but it's still not bad. I wouldn't recommend it like vehemently,
For
but
it's not for everyone, but for those who like a something different.
I guess.
And you want to talk about the two other ones that I know you.
Oh yeah, the other two that are nominated are Ore Monogatari, which is unfortunately it only has one chapter that's been scanned, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's a pretty great shoujo. For one, it doesn't have a your stereotypical male lead who's bishy and has little sparkles everywhere. This is just like a normal guy. He's like rough around the edges, which it makes a really nice read. Incidentally, his best friend is like the Bishonen who gets all the girls asking him out.
Might have to check that out sometime then.
Yeah, it is very nice. And the other one is, okay, another, it's Otoyo Megatari, which is a bride story. It's by Kaoru Mori, who's who's she's done a series called Emma, which is again a very kind of niche anime, well, manga later adapted into anime about a Victorian, I think Victorian maid.
Something like that. I haven't
Well,
read
something
it.
like it's something. Well, I know I heard something like that. So this is another, I think, what, period manga. It's actually set very close to where I'm from. So it's around the Caspian Sea area. It's all about like arranged marriages and the hard times of living,
I'm not
as an
familiar with the
nomad.
story at all, but all I know is it's supposedly have like absolutely gorgeous art.
Oh, it's unrivaled. I'd say it's possibly one of the best art of any series I'm reading, if not the best art I've read in any series. It's pretty insane.
Might have to check it out sometime.
Well, it's a bi-monthly. It's getting scanned regularly. I think it's the only one actually out of the lot getting scanned regularly, and it came in second last year in this award. So I think it's the I guess it's the favorite if you had to say anything, because all the other the other titles are nice. I just don't think they're as critically acclaimed as this one.
Yeah, I haven't
Okay.
really heard of any of these other ones, but.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, so regards to that, the award is actually announced on the 21st, so a few days away, and around about 1 o'clock, whatever the time zone Japan's in, at 1 p.m.
Probably sometime after this podcast is released.
Probably. We might actually update the information, but yeah, so okay, so we've covered some news, and now let's get to our main topic of this podcast, which is Shingeki no Kyojin.
Shingeki.
Shingeki. The reason me and Dave chose to do it is because the anime is coming out, in April, so not too far away now. It's possibly one of the most critically acclaimed manga to get animated for next season. It's been nominated for the Manga Taisho Award before. It actually has a live action film in the works, which has been stalled for other reasons, but and yeah, and I mean, for me, it's I think the most anticipated
Oh
anime next
yeah,
season.
we know
Yeah.
it is as we know it is.
We know it's gonna be the best one, but all you other like non-manga readers, you just don't know how good it's gonna be.
Yep. Just brief information on the anime. It's being adapted. Is it being adapted by Production IG or their subsidiary?
Well, you know how in a way that Zebek is an I part of the IG family? This new studio it carries the name Wit Studio. It's owned by a bunch of IG execs. Oh, and it's also being done in cooperation with IG.
With
So
production IG,
yeah,
yep.
So it's OIG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the main lead is going to be voiced by Kaji Yuki, who's a fairly recent but up-and-coming male seiyuu. It's got a few different seiyuu in it. It's got Inoue Marina, Kobayashi Yu, Shimono Hiro. But, yeah, enough about the anime.
Yeah, enough about the anime. We're going to get to the manga, so...
Okay, we'll just cut that.
Okay, so I guess the way I got into it was there was very few people reading it at the time I actually started reading this.
Mm.
It's quite interesting that I think besides me, there was one other blogger I was aware of who was, you know, basically crusading for it. He was like, yeah, this is one of the best.
Is that Bakuraptor?
Like, that was Bakuraptor.
Yeah, I remember reading his post on it during the Annie blog tourney.
Yeah, just as a side note, he has very good taste. He's reading stuff like One Punch Man, so yeah. Shout out there. Yeah, no, so yeah, I think it was me. Yeah, it was me and him pretty much reading. I ended up like, I wasn't straight away taken by it. It's not the type of manga which you read from chapter one and then you love it. Because it is such a complex story, it takes time to kind of...
Yeah, it takes time to get used to. So I remember I started reading it like probably like a year or more or so ago, and I thought it was interesting, but the art to me at first just completely turned it off to me. I'm like, this is rough, this is kind of not, it's very not pretty, but pretty in a different kind of way.
No, I understand what you mean.
But yeah, so I dropped it, and then I think I read that Bakuraptor post. I was like, maybe I'll check it out. And then I didn't. And then I think I was talking with you, and I was like, okay, I'll give it another shot. And so I did. And probably is what usually happens to me when I start reading a manga. I'm pretty sure I read it all in one sitting. At least that what was that at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think the funny thing is that happened with me and Tanari, which you were like, yeah, you should read it all. And I read it start to finish right before the anime aired. And then same thing happened to you, Shingeki.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, going back to the art, which actually is a very good point, that it's quite hard to get used to, I think, because the artist himself says he's very influenced by the guy who writes Berserk.
Mm-hmm.
And Berserk itself is such a distinctive art style that, you know, a lot of people I know did get turned off by it. It's quite, you know, it's very rough. It is pretty, but not in the traditional sense.
Pretty is not the right word. Appealing is not the right word. It's
hard to describe. It's
very hard to describe.
I think the best way to say it is that the artwork is such that it's very hard to tell the men and women apart.
That's true.
It is honestly like half the time I'm thinking there's some very androgynous guys and girls in this mix.
Yeah, unless the girls has like really long hair, it's oftentimes hard to tell. Like Ymir. One of the side characters, I could not for the longest time tell if it was a dude or a chick.
Well, full disclosure, I think until the most recent chapters, which is like maybe two or three chapters ago, I thought it was a dude.
Yeah, same.
I think, yeah, the guys are actually very easy to tell apart because most of them have like shaved heads and like, actually they're the ones with the lighter hair. They're the ones who have like...
Blonde hair.
They're the blonde hair. And it's the women that like, it's very hard to tell if they're guys or girls. And yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing because you don't really, this isn't really about like gender or.
Yeah, it's not about gender. It's about race.
It is about race. That's the best way. It
Humans
is about
and giants or titans, I should say.
Yeah. But no, I do think like after you get used to the art style, so I'd say give it about 7 chapters because that's how long it took me to get really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like within 10 chapters, if you're hooked after then you know it's your type of series and that you can get past the art. I would say especially since like also around the time, like chapter 7 is around about when all the action starts and the art definitely makes full use of the action. So I'd stick around with it until then at least.
Yeah, for sure. The action scenes are pretty great. I'm really excited to see it animated. But yeah, so we haven't really talked about what it's actually about, so...
Well, I think we just seeing that getting over you. Yeah. I guess the best way I describe it was, I don't know. I think my friend of mine told me a little about Battlestar Galactica not so long ago. So I'm not really one for TV in general, but apparently it's that whole, you know, humanity is being pushed to its limit. It's in the brink of extinction, and they're fighting the unknown. So in this case, it's, you know, it's the Titans. The Titans are the unknown, and constantly humans are. you know, they're being threatened, they're being cornered further and further, so they have like these walled cities and
Yeah. So basically, so far, what we've been able to what we've learned so far about the world they live in, we don't know about the rest of the world. We only know about this little tiny section of it. They live in this place. Does their city, I guess, have a name? Or is they just
No, you know, it's, I think there, you know, there's three,
there's
well, it's
like
technically three cities because
right.
each wall, yeah.
So like
Okay,
they
so
live in this walled area, and like each wall has a name, and each like in between each wall there's a name. So like I think the first one is like Maria,
yeah, that's the one. Mario is definitely the first one. The other
and then
ones are,
Rose.
yeah, that
And
sounds
like so
about.
basically each one of these walls is like a defensive line against the Titans that are always constantly threatening humanity. And like the Titans come in different sizes, but like none of them are able to climb out over these walls other than the Colossal Titan. And at the beginning of the story, the Colossal Titan just kicks a hole in the very first wall, and so the smaller Titans are able to get through, and humanity has to basically abandon their outer villages and move into the next wall, which caused them to lose a lot of land. And so now, currently, they only have the two, and then like the inner palace area.
Yeah, no, so basically it is, you know, humanity is really on, you know, on a lifeline right now.
Yeah.
It's and you know, it's that whole setting of you can do so little, you're not no longer the, you know, top of the food chain.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I think one of the most memorable quotes I remember in the first few chapters was when you know, they were talking, this woman asked, you know, "Where's my son?" And they were like, the Scouting Legion, who's you find out later on as a group, they said, "Oh, sorry, he died." And the first thing she asks was he at least useful? Was his death useful to, you know, to you guys? And they, you know, the guy struggles to say, "No, sorry, he died in vain." But you know, the whole concept of sometimes the best thing you can do in this situation is die. Not for your country, is you, the best thing you can do is die for your race. It just shows you know, how much of a powerful, you know, how much
Influence.
power that is. It is. And I think that's that whole dire situation is, it's not going to be for everyone. Some people might think that this is a depressing story, but if it is something that interests you, that it really, it's a really well done. And I think the story really makes use of everything,
It's a
just being
very
the,
interesting like case study almost like on humanity, I guess, or humans, and like how what happens to them under like these intense situations. 'Cause like at the very
yeah.
beginning, when the wall is breached, our main characters are still pretty young, and one of the so like there's three main groups of soldiers. There's the stationary, is the stationary troops, I think.
Yeah.
Stationary troops, the Scouting Legion, and the military police. And so like the military police live mostly like in the inner city and protect like the king.
Yeah.
Then you have the stationary troops, which just kind of like keep or. They're there in case the giant or the Titans ever attack, but they don't aren't like actively fighting them. And then you have the Scouting Legion, which actively goes out of the city and like tries to find information on the Titans.
Yeah.
And so at the very beginning, one of the stationary troops, like none of them had like seen Titans before. They hadn't attacked for 100 years. And so it was a really interesting like how these different people reacted to these situations.
I think not only that, I think, you know, again, just as it's not really a big spoiler, I'd say. So you find out really early on that the top 10 recruits get the first choice of who are they, which, you know, which group they go
Right.
into. And you know, it brings up the whole issue of all the top 10 always choose the Royal Guard,
Which is
and
the most safest,
which is the safest. So
but
you know,
they are
you
also the most capable of fighting Titans. So.
exactly. So you know, you question things. It's like the, you know, and you know, the characters in the manga actually do question this. It's like, what's the point of, you know, giving your top, you know, your top 10 into the, to protecting the rich, to protecting the king, when surely they should be out there trying to get information, saves humanity. And I think, as you know, as you go through the story, there's a lot of different case studies that come up. So there's little bits on religion, you know, generally there's also things about, you know, people who were forced out of their occupations, they were forced out of their, you know, their way of life, and they have to even change their way of the way they speak. And as you said, it's Shingeki is like a pretty much a constant case study of what, you know, what humans would do under this type of situation.
And obviously all of the characters in this situation are vastly different and have some conflicting ideals. And we're not really sure 100% where this is taking place in the world. I do remember in one of the backstories for the main female Mikasa that they mentioned that she was like Oriental and that there's not many of them left. And so I'm assuming it doesn't take place in Japan then.
I don't think so. I think just from saying like the mix of names, I think it maybe takes part in, a part of the world. It doesn't necessarily have to be a world that's exactly like Earth, circa. I think it's just an unspecified world where they don't even know the extent of it. There may be other civilization, there may be other like walled cities, but we don't know anything past, anything else other than, their titans exist and they will constantly be hunting down humans if they go outside of the walls.
Yeah, and still, even on chapter, what are we on? 60 now?
No, we're around 43 or
Are we
something.
only not that far? Wow.
Yeah.
Shingeki, yeah, 43. At chapter 43, we still know very little to nothing of the Titans. We know that they kill humans, but that they don't require like them to to live. They just kill humans for killing humans. And for the most part, most of them seem very unintelligent, but we have run across a few intelligent ones. Most recently, in the most recent chapters, one has appeared that seems to be like a leader among them, but we know barely anything about him at all. For the most part, most of them can't talk, but there have been a few occasional occurrences. But yeah, they are very much just mindless monsters intent on killing humans.
Just more dire situation.
But this is just me speculating. Do you think the manga has been hinting that the Titans were created artificially, like as weapons?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I think what I do like about the manga so much right now is not only is it like a case study, you have the case study part, all the characters get involved at one point or another, but also there's a mystery to this. It's where do these Titans come from? Because the ongoing mystery is what are they exactly? We have no idea what they are. Like we have different developments in the manga, which we're not going to talk about now because they are
Spoilers.
major spoilers. But no, there are so many developments that you have to ask is what is the story behind these Titans? We have no idea. It could be anything. It could be they could be artificially created. They could be a race
They
of
could be
their own.
aliens.
They could be aliens. Well, I don't think, which I don't think Shingeki is going to go into
No, but
the crazy area, but it is, it
I
is
think we
so
can talk
interesting.
about I think we can talk about the main character since that's pretty early on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll just go ahead and explain that.
Okay, yeah.
Fairly early on, the main character, Eren, turns into a Titan. Not like it's not that he turns into one, but like he surrounds himself with a Titan's like body. So he's like still inside of it as a human. But all we know, the only hint that we have of why he's like this way is that his dad gave him like an injection of some sort. And because that was like the biggest revelation to me that I thought, I wonder how many of the Titans are created. Because like they mentioned that like they don't have reproductive organs and like they don't know where they come from. So like I don't know if like every single Titan was once a human or what. I don't know anything. But the one of the most recent chapters where one of the recruits who's now in the Scouting Legion goes to his home village and he sees the Titan there.
That was that's still, continues the mystery.
That, because we're talking kind of vaguely here, not to give spoilers, but when they couldn't find the breach on the outer wall, or not the outer wall, but the whatever
I
wall
know
they're
what
on
you mean.
now, and all those Titans come out of nowhere. Are they humans? Were they hiding? Like,
I
there's
think that,
such a mystery. We don't
there's a
know.
mystery. It's also because, there's a hint that there are some very intelligent ones among them. So, it keeps going on and on. And, the manga just keeps you guessing. And because of the mystery as well, there's like this air of tension that just never goes away from chapter to chapter.
Tension and just like, not depression, just like, what's the word? Dread.
Yeah, dread is perfect way to describe it because it also allows them, the manga to them have, you know, just small victories, you know,
Oh,
a
victories in
chapter.
this are very small.
They're very small. No, but that's, I think it goes, again, it goes with the theme of
Oh, for sure.
this is dire. This is the most dire situation you have. So a small victory for you is a small victory, because let's face it, the big victory is beating all the Titans, but that's like the final, that's the end game, that's the final goal, which won't be easy to get to.
Oh no. So, yeah, it's pretty heavy on the mystery, pretty heavy on the drama. Action's pretty well done when it's there. It almost seems like there's more planning than action, you know?
No, but I think that's also why the action works so well. The
Mm.
action is not in excess. It's one of those dark fantasy series where when you have the action, you have it for like three chapters, but it's three intense
Oh
chapters.
yeah.
You just don't want to put down the. It's like you finish one and you'll be begging for the next chapter.
And this isn't like shonen action where, you know, everyone like powers up and then they
No,
no
not at
one
all.
dies, you know. This is like, no, there's like people dying like every couple panels in
Actually,
the
yeah,
most
as
gruesome
yeah.
way possible.
As a minor spoiler, I think like what happened to Eren early on really shocked me, you know. I was like, wait,
Oh,
what?
right, yeah. Where
Yeah.
he gets his arm bitten off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a gruesome series. And just to show you how not shonen it is, it was actually they took this to Shonen Jump, who, as some of you may know, they run all the series, like One Piece, Naruto, Bleach, things like that. And one of the editors took a look at it and said, "No, we can't run this. It's way too gruesome."
Right,
Like
yeah.
they,
Do you want to talk about the magazine's run in at all?
oh yeah, absolutely. So they took it. The guy took it to Shonen Jump. The editor knew that he had talent, but he said, "Look, I can't. We can't run this. It will get canceled. It will not be popular in our magazine." And he said, "Yeah, look, you can change if you change it, the story, the art style. You can run something with us." The author didn't take too kindly to that, so he took it to Kodansha. So, for those of you who know your publishers, Jump is published by Shueisha, and Kodansha publishes the magazines that run, you know, Genshiken and less shonen and more seinen stuff. So their forte is the seinen stuff, because their shonen stuff is actually pretty dire, unless you're talking about like Yamada, which is probably one of the better ones. So yeah, and as soon as he showed it to an editor there, so instead of just running it into an, you know, in their one of the current magazines, they pretty much created a new magazine with some of the most grim series you'll find.
Bizarre.
Bizarre is okay. So I think the most sane series to come out of that magazine was Joshiraku.
Didn't they also have like Tatsugare no Otome X
No, that's
Ninja?
different. No,
No,
they had
Sankaraya. Sorry, I knew it was one of
Sankore.
those two.
Again, so Sankuria, which is, as you know, about zombie love.
Yeah.
Another upcoming anime, actually, and a very terrifying manga by the name of Akuno Hana.
And then Kami-sama no Ito.
Yutori, yeah. That,
Oh.
again, death
Ugh.
game to the extreme.
Ugh.
So you can just
Hibiji.
imagine how left field, how absolutely non-mainstream this is, that they had to pretty much create a new magazine for it to be run in. But again, as a all those other titles we mentioned may have been bordering on the, like just the slight juvenile, just because they go straight into the gore and don't do anything else. But Shingeki is nothing like that. It's the smartest. It's the headliner. It's the best made one out there.
Don't forget, though, that magazine also has half and half, I think, right?
It has half and half, and
We won't talk about
we won't
that.
talk about that. That'll just depress us because it's reminding me of the first piece of news we discussed. But yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on. So I think we've covered a lot. Do you have anything else to say about the manga?
No, just if you're interested in it. I know a lot of people have different opinions on this, like when there's an anime coming out. I'm not sure how far the anime is going to cover, so you might be better off waiting until anime is over and then checking out the manga, or if you can't wait, go ahead and check out the manga. Yeah, that really
Yeah.
depends on person to person.
Obviously, my prediction is there will be some who, after the first big twist, will just drop it and go straight to the manga. That's my own opinion, but no, I think for when it comes to anime, it's in good hands. So it's the director of Death Note. It's the person who wrote the script for Claymore and JoJo.
It's Production IG.
It's Production IG, unlimited budget.
Trailer
It's
looks beautiful.
it looks amazing. It really does. And, you know, for those of you who don't like reading that much manga, which makes listening to this podcast a little strange, but
and us a bit sad.
That is the anime of next season. I think not just our opinion, but I think in general, the opinion is that Shingeki no Kyojin's anime is top anime of next season on paper.
On paper.
There's that tiny chance that something might completely ruin it. But
Guilty Clown was supposed to be the best one on paper as well.
No, but there's a big difference. Guilty Clown was written by the guy who wrote Vivid Butts. Just saying. Also, that guy adapted Fractale, and he joined the Darker Than Black team season 2 onwards.
Okay. Point taken.
We'll be fine. Hopefully.
I'm hopeful. I mean, as long as they stick to the source material, it's pretty hard to go wrong unless they have some really bad animation issues, but I'm pretty sure Production IG won't.
Well, yeah. Unless they have that, was it the Psychopaths episode 18 or 19?
Oh, right.
But, you know, they apologized in advance before we saw it, so as if it's fine.
Right. But yeah, it's definitely one to keep your eye out for. It's a monthly? Bi-monthly?
It's a monthly.
Monthly, so if you have problems with that, it might be better to wait for the anime or something. I don't know. It's a hard wait, but it's being worked on by people I think who love it, and like they are generally on time with it.
It gets released like literally days after. There's no delays.
Yeah.
Barely any. And I think the chapters are deep enough and rich enough so that, you know, you read it once a month and you're like, oh, it sucks I have to wait a month, but it's not like, oh my god, I can't wait anymore.
Because like, you know that feeling when you read a chapter of Kami no Mi and you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
That was great, but like, that was not nearly long enough. Shingeki, most chapters feel just about right.
They feel about right. And on the Kami no Mi note, it is my drop everything monthly version. For those of you who understand what that means, you know, get on it.
Yeah. Man, we actually did a pretty good job avoiding spoilers because there's so many spoilers.
No, seriously.
Avoid spoilers.
Just go read it. Avoid Mao. Like,
yeah, do not read any of the character descriptions for Mao. Just don't.
Exactly. Just if you really don't think you... If you think that, you know, you'll be one of those people who watches an episode or two and then you go straight to the manga, just go straight to the manga from right now. It's great.
Yeah. But as a general rule, don't go to character descriptions on Mao.
As a general rule, this is like our, I think, as they've learned through Tempest.
Yeah, I kind of read Aika spoilers like really early on, and that kind of killed the mystery for me.
Exactly. So, you know, either wait for the anime and read no spoilers. Oh, no, just don't read spoilers in general, but wait for the anime, avoid Mao, or just start reading the manga right now.
Actually, what are you doing? Why are you still listening to this podcast? Go read.
Just go. But not really. We still have some two really good anime manga that you need to know about.
If you're not reading Shingeki right now, or we'll be moving on, I guess. We'll finish up with our Shingeki and moving on to our final segment where we briefly cover two manga that we're reading and give our recommendation for them. Why don't you start, Az?
Okay, so since we're talking about Shingeki, I figured I'd bring up another gruesome, dark series. Actually, you introduced me to this, and it's called Akami ga Kill. So, this is actually a very deceptive manga for me. I saw the character designs and, you know, the cover of it that you have on Mao and manga updates.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, so, you know, shonen adventure. It's going to be some nice, you know, some maybe nice action scenes. I saw a few girls on the cover, so I thought, oh, this is why Dave likes it.
Hey.
And then I read the first chapter, and I was like, I'm sorry, what did I just read? It was brutal, and I'm not even talking... I think Shingeki is one branch of brutal. Akami ga Kill is a complete other branch of brutal.
Yeah, I would actually say that Akami is more brutal.
I think maybe not more... I think, actually, a better way to say this, Akami is brutal in the sense that it discovers the disgusting side of humanity.
Yeah.
Shingeki is a case of brutal that, you know, humanity is dying.
Well, yeah, I mean, Shingeki has giant humanoid titans biting, smashing, kicking humans, while Akame is humans killing humans in the most gruesome ways possible.
It is very gruesome. I still do think that it does go deep enough. Just like Shingeki, it goes deep enough into exploring the human condition of, like, you know, this is a case of the wealth is controlled by 10% of the world, and some of these wealthy people do some disgusting, twisted things.
Like the first chapter?
That first chapter, honestly, it freaks me at first because I'm still getting used to reading all these, should we say, heavier and more gruesome, darker series.
That first, like this manga does not pull punches. If you've read A Song of Ice and Fire, don't get attached to the characters. As you know what happens in Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah, Akame ga Kill does not let you take a breather.
Yeah. But no, it still is something I'd recommend. It's again, it's deeper than it looks. I thought just because of the art style, it looked a little, generic, a little, oh, this can be
The
like
main
another.
character is very MC Kun generic-ish looking,
Yeah, definitely.
but
But as you later find out, nope. And I think the cast in general is very good.
and they're
But as
shipping.
they're shipping, but as they've said, don't get attached to any characters, like any of them. No one is safe.
No one is safe. But yeah, there's like a sort of kind of love triangle, except the two girls don't know they're in a love triangle.
Oh, right, yeah, of course. There's a bit of comedy involved as well,
There
though
is.
it is like a speck in just all that all
Oh,
the.
like him and his bro.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, the comedy, it's tasteful comedy, and it's usually during those those chapters where like it's not dark and gruesome and it's
Yeah,
just
it's a
like
breather. It's during the breather chapter. So let's say, they're relaxing after doing, a certain job or something.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we're gonna sneak in some comedy into a situation where people are being cut into thirds and
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh yeah, basic premise, dude from the outskirts of, I don't know, some dude from like the, what's the word I'm looking for?
He's a country bumpkin.
Country
That's basically.
bumpkin. There we go.
Yeah.
Goes to the city to seek his fortune. Runs into this girl who picks him off the street and gives him a place to live. He finds out she's a sadistic killer who killed his two best friends. Spoiler alert, that's in the first chapter though.
It's okay. This you need to read it anyway because of just to see how powerful it is.
Oh, and then he's rescued, or he meets this group of assassins and ends up joining them because he finds out the corrupt, pretty much everyone in the city is corrupt, and he just wants to try and fix that. And
Again,
so,
yeah.
Assassin Guild, there's gonna be a lot of killing.
Yeah. No, I'd recommend it. Again, this is, I think it's a monthly. I think it's more or less up to date.
Yeah, I think they just had a most every a chapter was just released, so it's being translated and worked on. No
It's being
worry
worked on. There's
text.
plenty of source material there to enjoy. And yeah, definitely give it a shot.
Most recent
Again,
chapter had a very beautiful color page.
it was gorgeous. But I will say that, again, not everyone's cup of tea
No,
is
not at all.
not at all. It's one of those series that you have to be really okay with the gore. You have to be okay with, just generally seeing humans depicted as scum.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, because that's pretty much all you see is you do have, of course, those nice moments of humanity between the assassins. Yes. Yes, there's a bit of irony, but yeah, you need to be able to kind of accept the fact that a lot of the characters in this are sadistic, twisted, messed up individuals.
Yeah. But still recommend it.
Still recommend it all the way. Okay,
Okay,
Dave,
yep.
your
And for my
pick.
recommendation, I have Ame no Chihare, or Clear Up After Rain. It's nothing like Shingeki or Akame ga Kill. No gruesome, brutal killing going on in here. It's really interesting that it's really hard to pinpoint what I would describe this as. It's a school life, it's a romance, it's a gender bender, it's a comedy at times, drama. It's got so many different pieces working together that, like, you think it couldn't work very well, but it works so well.
I think in general with I think with the school genre in general, it really lends itself out to the drama, the romance, the comedy, probably easier than everything else, but this one in particular is very interesting because of the gender
The
bender.
gender bender. So, when I think of gender bender, or I think when other people think of gender bender, a lot of people think of stuff like Prunus Girl and stuff like that.
These things like, well, Mario, was it Marioholic? Was the,
Mariaholic,
yeah.
typically like cross-dressing, gender bending. Which Prentice Girl is great, and you should read it too. That's for another time.
That's another
But
time.
in this one, the format is really interesting. In the first chapter, these five guys are all, I mean, freshmen at this new high school. Two of them, I believe, two or three of them on the very beginning are going to be living at the dorms, and then two are would be living at home. And they all happen to be in this one particular building during the thunderstorm, and there's a clap of lightning. And then when they all, like, you know, after the lightning hits, they realize they've been turned to girls, and they, of course, freak out. And four of the five, you know, run into each other and are like, "Oh, okay, what just happened here, guys? What are we gonna do?" And later on, the fifth member, you know, they find him and they join their group. And because of this whole situation, one of the dorm, is he a dorm head? I think he is, or is he
I
just
think like an RA
the
type person.
RA guy finds them, and they explain the situation to them, to him, and he's like, you see, he's pretty chill. He like just goes along with it. He's like, "Okay, I believe you guys." And so they end up hanging out with him for that night, and then later on, they figure out that whenever it rains, they switch genders. And so to deal with this, they whenever it rains, they go to the oh they go to an all guys school, which is adjacent to an all girls school. And so whenever it rains, they just head over to the next door. But all of the characters in this are all very unique and all have different situations, family wise and otherwise. And we're you like you slowly get to figure out more and more about them. And like a lot of school and like slicey of life, I guess, manga type things, a lot of it depends on the characters. And for this one, the characters are definitely great. You have the halfie, who's like half Japanese, half
French, I
French,
believe.
and one guy is from Kyoto, and I can't remember where the brothers are from, but like they'll have their own unique background stories, but they all come together because of this common occurrence. And they become obviously good friends because of it, but there's drama obviously to go along with this. It's really well handled drama. I hate it when longer anime has really just forced drama. It doesn't feel forced in here. It's very well done. Of course, there's shipping, which, you know, why would I read anything if there wasn't shipping involved?
It must get confusing though, a
Oh,
little
it's
bit.
so confusing because the main guy, or if you can consider him the main guy, Haruki likes a girl from the all-girls school, but also you could almost construe that he likes her older brother when
When he's a
he's in this
girl,
girl, when he's like.
yeah, it gets confusing.
And you could also construe that there's potential between him and the halfie. There's been moments, both as guy, like when they're guys are like, "Man," he's like, "Oh man, I'm sure glad you're my friend," and they hug, and I'm like, can almost ship that. Can almost ship it. And then of course there's the Yuri ship, and like, oh man, so much shipping.
I think what also what I really picked I picked that one, which is a little subtle, is each of the guys has their own thing with women,
Oh yeah.
especially in like the most recent chapter. And so you have the smartest guy of the group. He has his own, past, and he has his own problems to deal with. The halfie has, as we find out, his own problems with his ex-girlfriend.
Yep. One of them has a fiance that's in sixth grade, but it's more of like one of those Osana Najimi, I think, like promised to marry when he grew up type of fiancés.
Or is it an actual thing, kind of like, parents arranged it, and this is who he's going to marry?
I'm not sure, but
Well, we
that's,
need to find out.
yeah.
Yeah, we need to find out. But you see, each of them has their own unique situation with women. So it comes out with, as they're turning into girls, they're pretty much learning more about being girls, learning more about the female perspective.
Yeah,
Very
there's like some
clever.
really interesting conversations they have where like, I know the main guy, he's like, "Man, I'm kind of glad I have this experience because when I'm a girl, I get to know the side of someone that I would not have got to know before." Like, because like the main guy kind of has like this weird relationship with the older brother of the girl that he likes. Because when he's a guy, they don't really get along too well. But when he's a girl, he's like, "Oh, this guy actually seems pretty cool." And it's just a really interesting manga. I highly recommend it.
I would too. It's interesting
Oh,
beyond
best
no
part.
doubt.
Best part is the chapters are freaking long. They're like, aren't they like 40 to 60 pages, it feels like?
Yeah, they are.
Which, to me, I love Kami no Mi. You know I love Kami no Mi.
Of course.
15 to 20 pages is not acceptable.
No, do you know some chapters that he does only they only do 10? That's
Yeah.
even less acceptable.
It's suffering to read like your favorite manga and only have it like a couple pages. This thing, it takes like 10 to 20 minutes to read a chapter.
It genuinely takes that long, and no, that's always good when you have at least because monthlies. So as we said, Shingeki is just right,
Right.
and but there's nothing wrong with having a like a quite a long one like this one, since there's also the uncertainty of scans.
Yeah, that is the one caveat with this. There was a chapter just released a couple days ago. However, the group that's doing it seems quite slow. They are, I believe, two volumes behind. So be aware of that. But I definitely still highly recommend it.
Well, yeah, I'd say about the gap between their releases can go up to, let's say, 100 days, which, you may forget about it after reading one or two chapters, but
I just
it's still
reread
worth
it.
it. Yeah.
But
Like,
it's
yeah.
so good.
You can always reread it. Dave reread it, I think, maybe twice before we recorded this podcast.
Hey, I reread Shingeki and then I reread Ame no Chihaire separately. But
Okay.
yes, I did reread both of them in like 2 days.
That's how good they are. You should read everything we recommend.
We'll have links to the manga updates and the
Updates. Yeah, of
about
course.
pages in the description. But anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's good. The usual, if you want to be on the podcast with us, or if you have a maybe a recommendation for us to check out and then review on the podcast, I'll leave an email and Twitter. For both of us.
Or comment in the
Yeah, just
post.
comment. Comment's always very much appreciated. I think we're good.
All right.
I still hate Seo Koji. He can die. And you know what?
Yeah,
Gonzo really has died since their mid-2000s.
the thing is, Seo Koji and his stuff is popular, so it might sell. And if it
But
sells, that's good for Gonzo, but
no, I don't care about Gonzo anymore. Dead
I mean,
to
I
me.
don't, but I'm just saying, so many mixed feelings.
So many mixed feelings. On the plus side, it's well, luckily there's a bunch of good manga to keep our minds off Seo Koji.
Yep.
So,
Yeah.
anything you want to say?
Nope, that's about it. Just don't think I have anything else to add. Kaminomi's Kaminomi. Beelzebub's getting really good right now. So if you were reading it and haven't been reading it before, recently, pick it up again because it's great.
Exactly. Beelzebub is pretty great right now. I definitely back what Dave just said.
Like the previous arc was very just eh, but the arc right now is so good.
Of course.
Other than that, any other ones that we're reading that have any interesting updates?
Interesting updates. You see, this is when I'm just going through my like Mao list and
Yeah. Hayate's Hayate.
Not really much I can say. Yeah, I think just as a reminder for some. Oh, Black Lagoon is back
Good
from
call.
hiatus. Just forgot about that, but bring it up. So for those of you who maybe only watched the anime, I think the anime pretty much covered
Most. They
most.
the like yeah, the first and second season covered most of it. Roberta's Trail of Blood covered basically the next arc right after the second season ended. And
And there's
then
only,
there's
yeah.
like one they started another arc after
Yeah.
Roberta's Trail of Blood, and that's the last thing I remember reading for it, so
Well,
that's where it's
according to
at.
manga updates, the number of chapters after the anime ends was only like four.
Yep,
So
sounds about
it's
right.
very easy to get caught up on. Just go straight dive in. The new raws I know are up, so hopefully the group that
Was that JAC that was translating it?
JAC are translating them.
Because I
So
could have sworn
hopefully.
they're no longer around.
Oh, JAC.
Because I know they were doing some other things. Because weren't they doing what was last? Well, they have her nine
Oh no, they
doesn't.
may have gone. I'm not gonna lie. So if you're a scan later and you're listening to this, pick up Black Lagoon, please. Just saying.
Yeah. Black Lagoon's good.
Yeah, Black Lagoon. And I was gonna say somewhat more thing actually, but no, it's escaping me.
You can add it in the description if you remember.
I will. But yeah, no, Black Lagoon is back, so keep an
Yep.
eye out for that. And yeah.
So basically, just recap: read Shingeki no Kyojin, read Akame ga Kill, and read Ame no Chihare.
No order of preference. They're all fantastic.
Yep. And stay away from Sao Koji.
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Oh, and Gonzo can go die. All to hell.
Okay.
That's the final I'm leaving you guys with.
Okay, that's your final thought. Excellent.
Exactly. There we go.
Okay, and with that, I guess we'll end this week's show.
All right. Thanks for
Or
listening,
not
guys.
week, this
Months.
month. I'm so bad.
We're not hardworking enough yet to get this out weekly, but yeah. Till next month, guys.
Till next month. See ya.